hit it all quite like that, but
good.
We'll talk about it.
Definitely.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Good to be here. How are you?
I am doing well. Doing well, man. Hanging in there. Great weekend. Played a little golf. Enjoyed the warm weather.
It was beautiful.
Played some good golf.
Shot 66 on Saturday. Awesome.
I know,
that is a difficult feat, my friend.
I'm telling you. Man, my feet really did hurt me after that, though.
How many birdies?
I had four birdies and no bogeys. It was a par 70.
Oh, what a beautiful, clean round.
It was. It was three under on the front and one under on the back. That was nice. Hard to believe.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. Yeah, it was. It was good. I enjoyed it. You know, yesterday was the 77th anniversary of the infamous D-Day operation and landing by Allied forces on the beaches of Normandy, June 6, 1944, 77 years ago. Allied forces landed on five beaches, Utah, Omaha, Gold Beach, Juno Beach, and Sword Beach. The landing included soldiers from America, Canada, and Great Britain. And American forces suffered the biggest casualties on Omaha Beach when Allies underestimated the number of German forces that were protecting the beach. Canadian soldiers landed on Juno Beach and suffered huge casualties within the first hour of landing, being real brutal. The first hour casualties approached 50% of the landing assault teams on Juno Beach. Despite the heavy casualties early on by Allied forces, it was a massive undertaking and a brilliant campaign to hit the German forces and get into Normandy. Generals Eisenhower, Bradley, British General Montgomery, and other Allied commanders did an absolutely brilliant job. And you know what was even better, Al? They were able to manage to keep the operation quiet. And, you know, we know today it would have been diarrhea of the mouth by unnamed or anonymous sources and in an unpatriotic press, you know, compromising such a mission. But what an operation. And it was, you know, we all seen the pictures. We've all, you know, seen the remakes of movies and just the absolute, you know, heroic operation by our soldiers, whether it was the U.S. soldiers, Canadian soldiers, and, of course, the British soldiers. And it's just absolutely amazing to this day.
Yep, and not without some controversy this year either.
God bless
our troops.
What was the controversy this year?
Well, Biden snubs D-Day 77th anniversary, angering veterans.
What an idiot.
The Homeland. Yep. Let's see. The fact Vice President Harris tweeted about D-Day while Biden tweeted about the 1921 Tulsa massacre on Sunday clearly underscores the administration's priorities and roughly 2,500 Americans that died. And it was the first step to us winning World War II, defeating the Nazis. This is a very integral battle to the success of the Allies. And for President Biden, that is a non-event. So when he says God bless America and God bless our troops, he's talking bullshit because he doesn't think about the troops at all.
What an embarrassment. I mean, you know, and actually, I guess he just doesn't like the idea of his fellow fascists being called out. But, you know, here, if it wasn't for our brave soldiers, our patriotic American soldiers who are protecting the freedoms and the liberties, and they were actually stamping out tyranny and oppression with the ruling of Adolf Hitler, we would be speaking German today. You know, my father told me back in the 60s and the 70s, you know, if it wasn't for what happened in the 1942 to 45 campaign, World War II, he says, we'd be speaking German here today. And, you know, it's sickening and it's disgusting, but, you know, Biden is an absolute disaster. What a disgrace of a man. You know, but he probably doesn't even realize where he's at half the time anyways. And maybe his depends were full. I don't know. You know, just it's a disgrace for the president of the United States not even to acknowledge the 77th anniversary of D-Day.
Well, sure. It gets a little bit worse right when you're outraged. It gets worse. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki had the perfect opportunity to mention D-Day during her CNN interview on Sunday, but failed to do so.
So it's a conscious effort by this administration not to acknowledge history, not to acknowledge success of America, not to acknowledge the sacrifices that our young brave men made in World War II. And this was the ultimate sacrifice by over 2,500 American soldiers, not to mention how many thousands of British and Canadian soldiers that were killed during this campaign as well. 50% of the landing assault team at Juno Beach, which is where the Canadian forces landed, succumbed to German onslaught. Give me a break. This is the kind of disrespect that communists give, you know, the American soldier. What a jerk. What an absolute jerk.
But our FLOTUS, though, First Lady of the United States, Dr. Jill Biden, did mention it in a tweet, and she mentioned the D-Day and prayers for peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. So kudos to Dr. Jill Biden for remembering to send out just even a tweet, but acknowledging D-Day. So got to give credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, when it's half-hearted and it's just for soundbite purposes, you know that they're fraudulent. He's the president of the United States, okay? There's no excuse for that. None. Zilch, nada. Thank God that we had a patriotic president at the 75th anniversary who paid respect to the American soldiers and traveled to Normandy with FLOTUS, the First Lady, to pay respect to the soldiers, okay, who sacrificed their lives on the five beaches, okay, Juno Beach, Sword Beach, Gold Beach, Utah Beach, and Omaha Beach. What a buffoon.
Yeah.
And of
Joe
course,
Biden went to South Beach.
Yeah, he went to South. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't say, well, down at South Beach, it was a trying time at South Beach. And, you know, I spent some time at Malibu Beach and honoring our veterans. So, yeah. What a jerk. In some more controversial news, I don't know if you watched any of the PGA event this weekend, but it was held at Jack Nicklaus's famed course up at the Memorial in Ohio. So upon the third round being finishing, John Rahm of Spain, who lives in the United States, by the way, ended the third round with a 6-shot lead over America's Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay. Rahm had a brilliant round of golf. He shot a 6-under 30 on the back nine. He ended the second round on Saturday morning, and because he had like 3 or 4 holes to finish, and in that finishing of the second round, he had a hole in one on the 16th hole. I mean, it was just unbelievable, and he took charge of the tournament, you know, at the end of the second round play Saturday morning when he had that hole in one. And of course, I think Colin Morikawa was with him, as well as I think Scottie Scheffler. So John Rahm finishes up the third round Saturday evening, and he's walking off the course, and he's walking up the green, and he's met by 2 PGA Tour officials. They're both in masks, and they start chatting with Rahm. And all of a sudden, John Rahm, you see him put his hands to his face, and he squats down to his knees, almost like he passed out, but he didn't. And you know, you immediately thought the worst, you know, something, oh my God, you know, something happened to his family. Just devastating news. It was more than just being assessed a penalty. Okay. And there was nothing during the round that would indicate that he was going to be disqualified, you know, or a penalty being imposed. I mean, it was a really good round of golf. It was a great round for a Saturday round. So he stands up and he's heard saying, "You have to be kidding me. Not again." So at that point, it's like, okay, so maybe it wasn't a family member, but what the hell could that be? So the CBS Sports stays on the video feed, and they're waiting to hear the news because they're salivating, man. This is great news. It's great theater. And about 5 minutes later, the on-course announcer, LPGA Hall of Famer Dottie Pepper, she makes the announcement, and she says, "It's been confirmed John Rahm has tested positive for COVID-19. And boom, the tournament's over for Rahm. He has to withdraw. He's tested positive. You know, here's a guy who dominated the tournament. He took charge, as I said, at the end of the second round, including, you know, having a hole-in-one on the par 3, 16th. The guy goes from domination and elation to agony and disappointment. He's almost in tears. I mean, maybe in tears. You know, and obviously he's devastated to find out. So there was some contact tracings that somebody reported, and he was tested every day from Tuesday till Friday. And I guess Friday's test came back positive. On Saturday, they retested him, and he came and still was positive. So I'm also conversing with Holger, and he brought up a really good point. And he says, you know, is it just coincidence that Rahm was given the news just as he's leaving the 18th green with CBS cameras on him and 65 million people watching? It's almost like the drama scripted. Look, everyone, see how he's refusing to be vaccinated, and being refusing to be vaccinated can destroy your life. He lost $1.6 million prize money, first place prize money. Now, I'm not saying that he would have won, okay, but it was $1.6 million from first place. He had a six-shot lead. There's no way. I don't think he could have melted down, because even the next day, Sunday, the two leaders were just mediocre at best. The act of telling Rahm the potential devastating news on national TV in front of 65 million people got the reaction that was wanted. Public opinion to go into guilt mode for not being vaccinated. Look, a professional athlete's income taken right out from under his feet. You see what happens if you don't get vaccinated? And you know, this is even better than the $1 billion that was given to the CDC for a vaccine public campaign by Congress. And you heard that. $1 billion, okay, Congress had given to the CDC for a vaccine public campaign. Why didn't the PGA officials walk him into the nearest location or even the scorer's tent and break the news to John Rahm? No, they had to do it publicly, a public shaming. However, it worked perfectly. Because yesterday and this morning, two of my friends, who I think have somewhat conservative tendencies, both said, I bet Rahm will get the vaccine now. It cost him $1.6 million. It took change right out of his pocket. And yet Congress is spending $1 billion for a vaccine ad campaign, $1 billion of taxpayer money, $1 billion that could have gone to small businesses. $1 billion that could have gone to Americans, helping them with their daily life, such as not having to stand in a food line or go to a food bank for food for their families because the government took their livelihoods away. Instead, the U.S. government, Congress, led by Nancy Pelosi, has given $1 billion to the CDC to conduct an advertising campaign for the sham of it all. And the American taxpayers suffer all by design. Make a public example of John Rahm, a professional athlete who didn't get a vaccine. Hey, I bet he'll get the vaccine now. But you have a different take on what was done, so I'd like to hear your take on it.
Well, I did have a different take, and then that take is now more in line with Holger's take, because what I want to know is when did they have the results and when did they know it? Because according to this, he posed such a risk, they should have taken him off the field to play immediately instead of waiting till the end and then getting a whole day's worth of John Rahm at the lead. They should have taken him off in the middle of the course or whenever they got that information in the name of public safety. But they didn't. They waited till the end for exactly the dramatic theater, which you so eloquently stated and painted such a beautiful picture. It was nothing but theater. Why was it theater? It was theater because the players with him didn't care. Obviously, he's well enough to be 18 and under after the third day, which is phenomenal. And here's the clincher in my book. Once you get vaccinated, you can still contract COVID, according to everything that I've read. And if I'm wrong, someone please call in and correct me. But I don't think that I am on this.
Oh,
so if you were vaccinated, and
Wait, hold on a second. Let me controvert that statement. I happen to get, I subscribe to the Coronavirus Worldwide newsletter that comes out on a daily basis. And
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I didn't either, and I found it. And it says here, excuse me, Mr. Al, getting COVID-19 after vaccination is incredibly rare, CDC reports finds. Oh, really? Bill Maher's got it. Two Major League Baseball players have contracted the Chinese virus. Every day reports come out about people who have been vaccinated contracting the Chinese virus.
Exactly.
Al?
So who's right? You or the authorities in this COVID-19 newsletter?
I believe
you over the newsletter.
You know, we have been vindicated so often, and it's unbelievable, including, you know, the fraud Fauci, who now has been exposed for the fraud that he is. I remember distinctly at the very beginning, at the onset of the Chinese virus pandemic that occurred last year, you had brought out about the Imperial College study. And about 2 weeks after the Imperial College study comes out, all of a sudden the fraud Fauci appears, and he talks about 2 million deaths in the United States within the next year due to the Chinese virus. And, you know, you said that sounds familiar. And then over 500,000 deaths in the UK from the Chinese virus. And then we pulled and we found the Imperial College report that was put out by a doctor or Neil Ferguson. That's what it was, Neil Ferguson. And in that report by Neil Ferguson, it outlined exactly what Fauci has stated. So this whole thing was pre-planned with the numbers being put out there. And of course, the American people are going to be ignorant to the actual sources that were being used. And it was the perfect campaign, just like with John Rahm. John Rahm was used as an example. You've got to vaccinate. If you don't vaccinate, your livelihood will depend on it. And look, it was just $1.6 million was taken away from John Rahm. Now, John Rahm can't visit his family for 2 weeks. Potentially, 2 days before the U.S. Open starts is when he gets tested again to find out if he's negative. And if he's negative, he can compete in the U.S. Open. So will the powers that be use this as another example to hold the American people hostage? Because what, 100 million people have gotten vaccinated? And, you know, they're looking to make that, you know, 250 million people to get vaccinated so that they can control the masses, because they control the masses with regards to what? The wearing of masks. And you've been vindicated on this one.
Before we jump to that, let's still a couple more issues with this PGA story.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, the PGA protocols for those not vaccinated were followed, which required Rahm, like you said, to be tested daily after his initial exposure was determined earlier in the week. Now, like you said, the PGA events have thousands of spectators at the course. The PGA is committed to keeping everyone safe, infection-free as possible. Though the PGA does not mandate people being vaccinated, they certainly encourage it. Now, get this. If Rahm had been vaccinated, this situation would have been averted, and he would have played the fourth round at the Memorial, likely cruising to a victory, the large financial winnings and the number one ranking in the world. Now, if he was vaccinated and contracted COVID, why would it have changed? He still would have been positive, even though that's a little contradictory there.
Well, you know something? Now, you bring up an excellent point. Let's expand on that for a second, because this is also important for people to understand. You brought up an excellent point about being vaccinated. First of all, we don't know if Colin Morikawa has been vaccinated. And you know what? It's his right to not disclose that. Remember, we have a HIPAA law in the United States, but it doesn't mean anything anymore.
My body, My body, my choice.
We don't know if Patrick Candelay, okay, has been vaccinated, and we don't know if Scottie Scheffler has been vaccinated, all three PGA pros, nor their caddies. Don't forget about their caddies. So that is six people right there in a circle, plus Rahm's caddy. That's seven, all right? Not to mention the score carrier, okay? Not to mention the announcers who followed him. All right. Now, to your point, John Rahm gets a hole-in-one on the 16th hole on Saturday morning. So either the PGA knew the results, they knew the results Friday, and they were doing a retest Saturday. So they already knew that John Rahm had tested positive, and they didn't disclose that to him. He gets a hole-in-one. He gives a high five to the players and the caddies who were with him Saturday morning.
Okay? Wait a minute. Did they know it?
When did they know
he was positive?
They knew it Friday, and they did from what I read, they did a retest Saturday morning to see if the test to validate the positive test that came back on Friday.
Okay.
So he finishes his round Saturday morning. This is key because Colin Morikawa was in that group, in that threesome, and I think Scottie Scheffler was in that threesome, okay, as well as their caddies. Now, he gets a hole-in-one, and they all high-five. Nobody washes their hands right after that high-five. They're all talking. They're standing at tee boxes together, 16, 17, and 18, close confinement. They're not 6 feet apart. They're not wearing masks. So
there was probably a hug in there, too, somewhere.
I'm sure there was. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. This whole thing stinks.
Big time. Yep. They should have pulled him Friday as soon as he tested positive if they were going to be consistent with the rules.
That is correct. And you know
but
what?
They were scared of a lawsuit.
He was in fourth place at that point, or fifth place, so he wasn't in the lead. He was on or around the leading point, but it wasn't until Saturday morning when he took the lead. This is really – and then who blew the whistle on contact tracing, by the way? I want to know who's the one that talked about contact tracing, all right? And how do we know that Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay haven't been vaccinated? Even if they've been vaccinated, have they been tested? Because people have been getting the Chinese virus being vaccinated after being vaccinated.
Very interesting questions, doctor.
And Rahm's classified as asymptomatic. Well, so could Morikawa and Candelay be classified as asymptomatic. What about the people that they passed through? Okay, did he shake hands with any of the Nicklaus family as he was going back on Saturday?
Yeah, and I'm sure he did. I'm sure that they spoke because they were friends. And Nicklaus and his wife, they're in their 80s. They're I'm afraid to say it, but they're in that COVID target audience. COVID likes the 80 and above.
Well, they both Jack and Barbara Nichols have had, they contract the Chinese virus. So they did test. They got it earlier last year.
Oh, so they already got the natural antibodies.
They got the natural antibodies. Correct. Correct.
All right. So, okay. We agree that there is a huge controversy here with the science, with the rules, and the time of knowing that he was quote-unquote positive for COVID, and then the actual taking him off the field of play is controversial. What should happen next? Because according to the PGA, they followed the rules exactly. Rahm, being very classy, didn't fight it or say anything controversial. He very poised, and he said, well, I'm glad my family is safe, and blah, 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 and then left.
Right. Correct.
He didn't say anything negative like you or I probably would have done. He's more poised than both of them combined.
I guess so.
So what happens? Does this just go away? Is this another, like you said, is this just a huge public example of non-vaccination shaming? Like
yes.
You said, the government spent $1 billion trying to get people to get vaccinated, and they're only, halfway successful with one shot, which leaves maybe, 30 or 40% maybe got both shots if they needed. Full vaccination, maybe 30 to 40%,
mm-hmm.
thereabouts.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what's going to be next. Let's make a prediction here.
Hmm.
So he's got to, John Rahm's got to be tested 2 days prior to the U.S. Open, okay? And if he tests positive,
yep.
he can't play in the U.S. Open. What are the odds of him testing positive on the U.S., still being positive prior to the U.S. Open and not being able to play? That will be the story. That will be the headline. You see, if he would have got vaccinated, he would have been able to play in the U.S. Open, and he probably would have potentially won $1.6 million. So does that mean that Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay both have gotten the vaccine? And therefore, since they got the vaccine and they have been in they were in constant contact with a person who has tested positive for the Chinese virus, couldn't they get it again? Are they going to be tested again? Because they came in – there's contact tracings right there. But because they've had the vaccine, mm-hmm. they're absolved from any type of further questioning?
No. So once you get the vaccine, then you're good to go, going about
yeah.
your business however you want. That's
yeah.
Even though the science doesn't necessarily hold up.
Correctamundo. Correctamundo.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Even though you may need a booster in 8 months.
That's correct. Yep. That's they're going to bank on the booster. Bank on the booster. There we go. That's the new one. Bank on the booster. Yeah,
I'll bet you this just goes away.
Oh, I think if the vaccine doesn't increase, the vaccine notices don't increase over the next 2 weeks, I think it becomes a story again. I think he tests positive and he's out, so, and now they're going to make an example. That's my.
Will he get the
so,
vaccine though? After testing positive, do you get the vaccine or do you not bother because now you have the natural antibodies once you go positive to negative?
You would have to get tested for that, right? Yeah, I don't either. Well, you know what? He won't be able to play anyways because he would have to get the vaccine today and then in 2 weeks get the second shot unless he gets the Johnson & Johnson one and done. Because he has to have that second vaccine if he gets the Moderna or the Pfizer.
Right.
Or else he still can't play.
Because they may make him a poster child for
mm-hmm.
getting bullied into, John Rahm got the vaccine, so should you. Don't let what happened to John Rahm happen to you.
There you go.
Because, Vito, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Kumbaya.
It's my
we're in
body.
This together. We're in this together.
So,
don't kill me or my family, you asshole. Get the shot.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
If you don't get the shot, we'll break your arms and burn your house down.
You will get the shot. And if you don't take the shot, we will give you the shot.
Yeah,
PGA
we're not saying you have to get the shot, but if you don't, there will be consequences.
There will be consequences for the actions. You will get the shot. You go to your nearest pharmacy, you get shot. PGA protocol is that if a player is vaccinated, they don't need to be tested. So thank you, Holger.
Okay,
that answers that. So Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay, we can assume, got the vaccine as well as their caddies. There's been no report of their caddies being suspended or taken off the trail. So interesting.
Well, but here's a little statistic coming out of the Columbus Dispatch is the PGA indicated that north of 50% of their members have been vaccinated. That still leaves several dozen golfers at every event who remain unprotected.
Oh, wear a condom.
Now that is not I don't know, that statistic makes me a little nervous going out there. 50%, that means I have one in every two people I meet, I have one chance of, I don't know, being in the vicinity of an unvaccinated PGA member. The thought of it just stresses me out. They just need to shut the whole damn thing down. Just shut it down. Just stop it until for another 6 months until this whole thing blows over. Everybody could get it.
But you know what you can get? You can get
what?
You can get the
Who
Viking.
Who could that be?
I don't know. Who could that be?
Who could that be? Good evening, young fellers.
Good evening.
I just ordered my new T-shirt. Shut it down. Shut the damn thing down.
Yeah. Shut the front door. Oh, shut it down.
Yeah. I just had to call because I had run across an article here that had Twitter. Rom came out with a tweet. Rom tweeted out that it's one of those things that happens in life, and I'll take all the necessary precautions to be safe and healthy. Thank you for all your fans for your support and all that kind of stuff. So very poised tweet, and of course the fans of John Rom responded on Twitter like Hawkeye said, not being vaccinated this far into the pandemic is both irresponsible and very disappointing to a fan base. Makes zero sense at all. Then we had Adam Fink on Twitter who responded with, two shots in the arm, bro. That's it. It's not a setback. It's just being dumb. Hope you respond well. And
oh my God.
Mac and Miner says, if only there was something out there that's like 95% successful at preventing this. If only. And then Lady Golfer, she replies with, dude, get vaccinated. Two pokes in the arm would have won you up $1.674 million. Damn.
Hey,
it's
beautiful, isn't it? The campaign is perfect. The indoctrination worked, Holger. It's working.
Phone Man says, if you would have taken every precaution to protect yourself and your family, you would have taken the vaccine shot. Either one or two, that's all you had to do, compadre. Now, there's a little compadre. That sounds a little bit kind of racist towards Spaniards, but, I guess that's okay. If you've gotten vaccinated, you can be racist. Ian Hickey says, you mean thoughts from your representative, and a setback is typically defined as something out of your control. You chose not to get vaccinated. I mean, people are just absolutely...
So there's Anthony Frost responds to Lady Gopher. Lady Gopher said, dude, hash brown, get vaccinated. Two pokes in the arm would have won you $1.674 million. Damn. So as you said. So Anthony Frost responds, good grief. You could still be infected after getting the vaccine. I would have personally got it if it was him, but the end result could be the same if you were exposed. I mean, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But the indoctrination campaign's won, though. It's winning.
Yeah. This guy's article.
Even
that
the
I'm
chicken
will come. He had a chance to interview this Andy Levinson, who's from the PGA. He's the VP of the PGA Tour, and he asked the question. He says, "Can you say if John?" So is it then fair to say that anyone who, had they been vaccinated, still would have had to test every day like Rom did? Andy Levinson said, not necessarily. If someone had been fully vaccinated and fully vaccinated under our protocol, and as it's defined by the CDC, is 14 days past the full cycle of a vaccination, they do not have to test as a result of being a close contact. So in essence, what they did is they got a, and by the way, a close contact under the PGA protocol is 15 minutes or less within 6 feet of somebody that's been tested, that's tested positive for COVID. Okay. That's parameter. So 6 feet away, which is what you're supposed to be, right? And so that's the parameter and all that. But what he's saying is, whoever tested positive and obviously had to, list the people that they
had close contact with. And so it sounds like the PGA Tour went down the list and said, okay, he's fine. We don't have to test him because he got vaccinated. No, he got vaccinated. Rom did not get – oh, well, we got to bring him in, test him every day.
Yep.
And there you go.
He was leading. He had a six-shot lead. He was blowing the competition away, and because they disqualified him, guess what? It made it for an interesting what? They ended up having a playoff, didn't they?
Yep.
Because they both played so bad.
So I'll just share this, and I'm gonna get off the phone here. But I have a friend of mine who got a call a couple weeks ago. They got a call from these people that they had spent a little time with out golfing, actually, and the woman had tested positive for COVID.
Okay.
And so they both, my friend and his wife, both have been vaccinated, but they still had to go in and get tested or scheduled to get tested and all this. The day before they went in to get tested, they got a call back that this woman's positive test was a false positive.
Okay.
So my point is this, is if John Rahm's loses the opportunity to win a $1.64 million, if it turned out that test, since they checked on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all negative, then Saturday morning it's positive. If that turned out to be a false positive, could he sue for the $1.64 million?
Well, wait, because Vito had said that he was tested on Friday. They found out he was positive, but they retested on Saturday just to make sure. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's my understanding, yes.
So I think they put everybody there at risk knowing that he was COVID positive.
Yeah.
He risked murdering everybody at that tournament.
Well,
is there a punishment befitting such a crime? I don't know.
I hate to ridicule the government of the United States, but you know, I had mentioned to Vito that, you know, I would hate to like destroy their public service announcement here using John Rahm as a shaming poster boy, but you know, you could actually flip this around and say, okay, by the way, if you contract COVID-19, you can A, hit a hole in one, B, shoot six under, C, you can lead one of the biggest tournaments in the country by six strokes going into the final round. You can all do that just by contracting COVID. I mean, shit, Adam Scott would be lined up for the frickin' dose. Jordan Spieth would be like calling Fauci looking for a vial.
God, I'm happy when I shoot 12 over. Imagine if I got COVID. I could be a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys.
Hey, thanks for
that
call.
That is brilliant.
All right. Good job today.
I'm going to get you later. I'm going to steal that.
Okay.
Just take it easy, man.
See you, bye.
That was the Viking. there it is.
That was a brilliant analysis. If you get COVID, you too can shoot 18 under par, get a hole in one.
And not have any symptoms.
Yes. I want some of that.
Oh, my God. Ay, ay, ay. And I'm sure that...
I mean, we kid and we laugh about this, but this is his career. This is his livelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, he may not, you know, there's only a few players that are able to maintain this level of play from the PGA to the Champions Tour and still be competitive and, I mean, even as a journeyman. But, I mean, nobody knows what can happen tomorrow, but this is his livelihood. They literally stole it from him.
Yeah, just it just doesn't make sense. This whole thing just doesn't make sense. And, you know, and really what also doesn't make sense is the LPGA had their U.S. Women's Open, their major, yesterday, this past weekend. And what didn't make sense was Lexi Thompson, America's Lexi Thompson, had a five-shot lead making the turn on Sunday. She gets to number 10. Number 11, she freaking blows up. I think she double bogeys the hole. She ends up shooting a 41 on the back. Misses the two in front of her, shoot 35 and 30, 36, 34 and 35. What was it? Yuka Saso of the Philippines and Nasa Hatoka shoots a 34 of Japan. And Lexi Thompson had a five-shot lead going into the back nine of a major, the final nine, and the poor girl, poor lady, just she blew up. She ended up shooting a 75. She missed the playoff by one shot. 19-year-old Yuka Saso ended up winning the U.S. Women's Open in the third playoff hole. And, you know, I know that John Rahm was devastated, and I'm sure that Lexi Thompson, on the other, not a non-COVID, a non-Chinese virus issue, Lexi Thompson would be devastated. So I felt bad for her. I had to mention that. Speaking of devastation.
I'll bet you Lexi Thompson wishes she ain't had some of that COVID that John Rahm had.
I know she would have shot 8 under.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I know I started saying this earlier, but you've been vindicated. And there was a June 4th on Tucker Carlson. There was Tucker did an interview with a Dr. Atlas. I think it's Dr. Scott Atlas. Anyways, Dr. Atlas was on the Chinese virus team with the Trump team on the Chinese virus. And he had some pretty interesting words to say. And now you have been one to say that the virus goes right through the mask. And what we come to find out with the thousands of emails that have been released or leaked on Fauci's emails is that they knew this too, that the virus goes right through the mask. They knew it. And he explained in detail, apparently, in one of the emails to somebody. And, you know, I'm sure that it was for appearance purposes, for control purposes. But you have to listen to this 5 minutes, Tucker Carlson speaking to Dr. Atlas. And Dr. Atlas made some really, really good points. And also about the impact on the economy and the individual. So this was from June the 4th. And Al, you're vindicated.
Scott Atlas has watched this unfold. A lot of the things we're learning now to be true, he said a long time ago. He's a former member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, serving on that. Probably destroyed your life, doctor. I would bet you don't have to answer that question, but you certainly took an awful lot of flack. You have said for, I think, about a year now that the kind of masks you buy in a drugstore are not effective prophylactics against COVID-19. Is it weird to see that Tony Fauci knew the same thing?
Hey, Tucker. First, it didn't destroy my life, much to the chagrin of those who tried. Just want to correct that. the truth was evident, in the public statements back then, and the emails confirmed that at one point Dr. Fauci was stating the evidence, which was that the masks were not able to contain this virus, and that's not what the masks are for, even in a medical setting, because the virus goes through the mask, the virus goes around the mask, and, you know, he knew it, he explained it in detail, apparently, in one of those emails to somebody. Lots of things were said that were really, turns out the advice that was given about the lockdowns was not based on data at all, even though people jumped up and down and said it's, quote, the science, a term which is permanently damaged now. But you have to realize, and I think everyone does, the country implemented the Fauci-Birx lockdowns. And this is what failed to protect the elderly, did not stop the spread of the virus, and destroyed so many people, you know, all the medical care that was missed, particularly the working class and the poor. And beyond the failure of these policies, that really what we see in the emails is an ethical violation of a public health official who never once contemplated or voiced concern about the impact of the policies on the public health. I mean, this is a tremendous, really unconscionable way to conduct public health advice. The other things that are the big issues, if I can go on, are that what happened here is that now we're seeing, what we're seeing here is a potential really corruption, a politicization of the science. These scientists that wrote that letter to Lancet that may or may not have been orchestrated behind the scenes, but it sure seems like it was, stating something that was not factually true as if it were, with an attempt to censor dissenting scientists, dissenting views. If the country accepts that sort of behavior from scientists, including journals, specifically top journals like The Lancet, this country's really sort of in deep trouble. You know, I mean, this has really undermined the public trust in expertise, in science itself. I don't know what to say about that, except it really portends a very dark future here if we don't make these people, including the journal editors, accountable. It's bigger than Dr. Fauci, what's been exposed in these emails.
Yes. I agree with that completely, because, I mean, these are people making very significant decisions, and we give them a huge amount of power to make those. They prescribe drugs, and some of them shouldn't be doing that. To the death rate quickly, Fauci said in the email to CBS News chief medical correspondent, if the total death rate, number of people infected, here's the number infected, we think, here's the number who died from the infection. If that falls below a certain threshold, he likened it to a bad flu season. It seems like it did fall below that threshold. So if it's a really bad flu season, why'd we shut down the country?
Well, you know, that's exactly correct. And it sounds like he actually knew it. He was not giving advice based on the data, it turns out, after all, though. Publicly, at least, you know, what we see here is a virus that has far higher risk for a certain subset of people, very old people, particularly frail people with comorbidities, much worse than the flu. But for the people who are younger, it is, and particularly children, it is much less dangerous than the flu. And so when you look at the real data by real scientists like Dr. John Ioannidis from Stanford, one of the world's top true epidemiologists, by the way, you see that the infection fatality rate is, for people under 70, less than 0.05. I mean, this is really really a tremendous amount of censorship and distortion of science that was used to inflict one of the most harmful public health exercises in the modern world history here. And, there should be some accountability. But the first and most important thing is to reveal and expose the truth, which we know has been missing for this entire pandemic. And the people who did speak the truth, myself included, were pilloried for speaking the truth because it went against what the conventional narrative was. This can be repeated. I think we really have to pay attention to this.
I hope that we will. And I'm sorry for all that you went through. It was amazing, the attacks on you. I stood slack-jawed watching them. Dr. Atlas, appreciate coming on tonight.
I mean, how's that for someone speaking the truth and telling it like it is? It destroyed so many people, ethical violations, not giving advice on data, based on data. I mean, not giving advice on data, the censorship and distortion of science. Not to mention, and Dr. Atlas did not mention this, but, you know, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, donated over $300-something million for the suppression of truth with regards to the Chinese virus. They have terminated President Trump's Facebook account. They have terminated how many others' Facebook accounts because they dare to speak about the truth about the Chinese virus. I know this wasn't the topic of the show, but a lot of this came to light this afternoon. And to hear what Dr. Atlas has to say and had to say, I trust you follow the science and you follow, what has been said. And all of a sudden, you know, the truth is starting to trickle out that the ground zero for the Chinese virus was indeed the Wuhan lab. And it was Twitter, okay, and Jack Dempsey, who terminated the account of one Donald J. Trump, President Trump, you know, suppressing free speech in America that turned out to be the truth, okay? The same with Facebook. And we're talking about these fascists, these anti-Americans who are abusing the United States Constitution, and they are playing the police when in fact they're censoring Americans who are speaking the truth, and now the truth is starting to come out. And Fauci is starting to be exposed as the fraud that he truly is, not basing his data on science, but was it based on trying to get rid of Donald J. Trump? You know, I really have to wonder. I'm really starting to believe that there was some sort of effort, okay? What was the one thing that they assailed and they attacked Donald Trump on? They couldn't get him on the Russian collusion. They couldn't get him after the Mueller investigation, because even Mueller had to come out and say he found no Russian collusion between Donald Trump nor anyone in his campaign. Had to say that. Page two. He had to say that. Okay, then meaning Congress, Nancy Pelosi-led Congress, okay, tried to impeach President Trump over what? Quid pro quo with the Ukraine, which turned out to be that was, you know, dictator Joe Biden who did the true quid pro quo, but they couldn't get rid of Trump then. And Trump, what did Trump pride himself on for three years? The U.S. economy. He did the resurgence of the U.S. economy. Lowered tax rates. His leadership caused a lowering of tax rates, so much so that other fraud from Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, had to leave. He had to flee Congress because he was part of that establishment, the anti-Trump establishment, and the lowering of tax rates in America worked. You lowered the corporate rate from 35% to 21%. It spurred economic growth. It spurred investment in America and investments in Americans. And the one thing that the establishment made sure to get Trump on was the economy. Tank the economy. Why? Why tank the economy? Make Americans dependent upon the U.S. government. It was the one Achilles, the only Achilles heel that could get Trump out, aside from the cheating that the Democrat Communist Party did, okay? But it was the one thing that they could pride themselves on in destroying Donald J. Trump. And in 140 days, you've got dictator Joe Biden and communist Kamala who are erasing everything that Donald Trump did. Everything, everything. You're paying $1 a gallon more for gasoline, okay? Not those who are making $400,000 a year. It's impacting every single American who drives a car. If you're making less than $400,000 a year, you're paying over $1 a gallon, in some places more than $1 a gallon, for gasoline to fill up your car, taking money right out of the working poor, the middle class, the upper middle class's pocketbooks to fill your car. And the fraud Fauci now is being exposed for what he is. They didn't use science. Masks were just a mask. It was to make sure that they could control the American people. It wasn't based on data, not at all. And when scientists did come out, when doctors, scientists did come out, they were summarily rejected. Just like hydrochloroquine was rejected because it was an already useful drug to combat the Chinese virus. And the protection of the red Chinese has been unbelievable by those in Washington, D.C. I just, you know, a 99.7% survival rate, and we shut down the entire U.S. economy for it. It's unconscionable what was done by this government. Unbelievable. And it turns out that Donald Trump was right all along. So what is it? Was it because he's an outsider? Is it because he exposed all of the frauds and the whores in Washington, D.C. who are stealing from the American people, who are self-enriching themselves for being in power and they want to control the dismantling of the U.S., of the Constitutional Republic in the United States of America? I mean, what is it? There is no way, shape, or form that a bubbling buffoon Biden could get elected by campaigning out of his basement. He was uninspiring. He is a liar. He's a plagiarizer. And he's certainly un-American. And now Fauci is being exposed as a fraud, and the fraud that he truly is. And the American people paid for this dearly. They paid for this dearly, including becoming dependent upon the federal government, as these fat cows in Washington, D.C., okay, lived a life of luxury. The American people suffered. American small businesses, all they wanted was a bailout. Help us. Help our employees. It was a small businessman who didn't say, help me. He said, help my business so I can help my employees. That's all the small businessman wanted. And because it would have been perceived as a victory for Donald Trump, they made the American small businessman and woman suffer in America, suffer so that it wouldn't be perceived that Donald Trump did help bail them out. And Nancy Pelosi was front and center on that. Chuck Schumer was front and center on that. There is something inherently wrong with those people in Washington, D.C. Everything that Donald Trump did is being abandoned, including the border. Okay, the U.S. border was under control. It is in total crisis right now. And is it a planned crisis? Yes, it is. It's a planned crisis by the fraud, the bumbling buffoon Biden and communist Kamala. It's disgusting what we're seeing today. It's disgusting what we're witnessing in America today. We are told that we have to sit in our houses. We're told we have to wear a mask. In the meantime, you've got infected, Chinese virus infected, illegal immigrants coming into America. And this administration, okay, the dictator Joe Biden regime is transporting illegal aliens around the country without even knowing if these people are infected with the Chinese virus. But we're told that we have to wear a mask. We're told that we have to sit in our homes. We're told that we can't have social gatherings. We're told we can't go to church. We're told we can't celebrate July 4th. We're told that we can't celebrate Easter. We can't celebrate Thanksgiving. In the meantime, this lying piece of shit in Washington, D.C. is transporting illegal aliens throughout the United States, and we have no idea if these people are infected with the Chinese virus. And this is what's sick. Something is absolutely wrong with what occurred back in 2020. Hi, Al. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
You're a little upset. You sound a little upset.
I'll tell you, I am. And, you know, I had a little just a brief conversation with Sue as well. And, you know, she is a clinician by trade. Okay, she was a nurse. And I don't fault her at all for listening to Fauci, to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. Because early on, you know, this is all new to everybody. And all we knew was people were getting sick and people were dying, except my 90-year-old aunt, okay, who contracted the Chinese virus and she didn't die. Matter of fact, she just had 3 days. 90. And her 100-year-old roommate, okay, also survived the Chinese virus, by the way. Just want you to understand that, okay? That's, you know. Okay. So
when they play golf, did they get a hole in one?
No, but her driving was so much better. It was straighter.
Yeah, good.
But there's just something. There was something wrong with this, and you know, I understand where. And this was the sentiment of people working in the medical field. They didn't know either. And they were exposed as well, and being exposed. So you're looking to the experts for help, okay, and for guidance. And that's what it was in the beginning, okay? And now those that were questioning all this, okay, including President Trump, you know, a year later, as information comes out, and information will come out, and information will show, and it is starting to show, that this was something was absolutely wrong. There was never a reason to shut down the American economy. there was only one reason to shut down the American economy, in my opinion, and that was to make sure that Donald J. Trump would not get reelected the president of the United States. And to me, that is the only reason why this U.S. economy was shut down. And furthermore, Nancy Pelosi validated it back in September and October when she refused to pass an additional PPP program and also an additional bailout for the American people because they decided to shut the U.S. economy down, and they made sure the American people suffered through Election Day. Why? Because if you hit them at the purse, you hit them at the pocketbook, okay, they're going to vote for someone that's going to take care of them. And so they got this furlough fraud to stay in his basement, not say too much, because as when he started to say too much, he had diarrhea of the mouth. He didn't know where he was going with, okay, and he would blow the whole thing. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. What a perfect campaign. And you hit Trump right at the economy, and you made sure that you took the steam out of the U.S. economy. And you did so with his partners in the West and make sure that they felt the pain as well. In the meantime, the Chinese are sitting there amassing just absolute power throughout the world, buying ports of call in key locations, including the East Coast, the West Coast of Africa, including Australia and New Zealand, including building manufacturing plants. They have amped up their manufacturing to the point where the U.S. no longer will be a leader of manufacturing, because we were starting to change that tide. 400,000 manufacturing jobs came back in 2019. And guess what? They put the kibosh to that. And then, of course, immigration. Immigration is a total mess right now. It's a total mess, all by design. In less than 100 days, the dictator Joe Biden, communist Kamala regime, has managed to screw up an entire immigration system. One that was in place, and it was working. It was actually working. And next week, we are going to have a guest on by the name of Todd Bensman. Todd Bensman is with the Center for Immigration Studies. He also wrote a book titled America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Todd was on a podcast with the Center for Immigration Studies, D-Day on the Rio Grande. It's about 36 minutes. If you have an opportunity, I'll put the link in the chat room. D-Day on the Rio Grande, the Biden administration facilitates mass illegal immigration. Really good interview. And you can get a flavor for Todd's writings and opinions on that podcast. Todd Bensman is the center's Texas-based senior national security fellow. He's the author of America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. The Untold Story of a Secret American Border Program Created to Prevent Terrorist Infiltration Over Border with Mexico. So Bensman also led the Homeland Security Intelligence effort for 9 years in the public sector. So we're looking forward to speaking to Todd next week and to speak more about his writings and the book. I actually have the book tomorrow. And I'm going to read that book. I'm looking forward to it because, you know, we have since coming on air in 2010, you know, we've spoken about the tri-border region in South America and how Hezbollah has been funding Islamic terrorists and bringing Islamic terrorists to that tri-border region is Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina, or Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, I believe, in those three countries. And you've got the financing of Islamic terrorists by Hezbollah in that region. And those terrorists come up through Panama, Costa Rica, and into Mexico over the U.S. border. It is no mystery that Border Patrol, since 2010, have been finding all kinds of paraphernalia at the border, including prayer rugs and Korans. Mexicans aren't Muslim by nature, but Muslims can appear as South American and come up through the borders. And what is the impact on America? And also, of course, you know, with the feckless Biden administration and their failed blundering border policy, what is the impact going to be on America, on our border states like Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California? So this is all, this is really starting to pan out. The disaster of the Biden administration is unfolding, and it's unfolding quickly.
Yeah, well, going back to Fauci for a second, virologist Christian Anderson sent at Anthony Fauci an email, and we talked a little bit about this, on February 1st, 2020, informing the NIAID head Fauci that he believed COVID-19 could have been, quote, potentially engineered in a laboratory. That means man-made. Anderson later received a multi-million dollar grant from the NIH, National Institutes of Health, published a paper then claiming COVID-19 originated naturally, the exact opposite of his original position that he sent to Dr. Fauci February 1st. As soon after, he began deleting his old tweets after the email surfaced and has now deleted his entire Twitter account. So this is, and we're supposed to put our trust in science because these scientists are just, oh, I don't know, like perfect. And we're supposed to look up to them and respect them. Well, I respect the early virologist Christian Anderson, who was trying to tell Fauci that, hey, this thing might be man-made, you're going down the wrong path. And then for a million-dollar grant, he shuts the hell up, changes his tune, does a 180, and off he goes into the sunset. That's called, this man was bought. Paid for, problem gone. All for $1 million.
So Hans Christian Andersen, he emailed Fauci January 2020 about the possibility of the Chinese Communist Party virus being engineered. Okay, so over this past weekend, users on Twitter noted that Anderson, who had deleted thousands of tweets in recent days, deleted his account.
5,000.
Yeah, 5,000. So Epoch Times The Epoch Times has contacted the social media platform for comment. A spokesman for fascist Twitter told news outlets that his Twitter account was deactivated by the user. No action was taken on Twitter's part. David Baltimore, the president emeritus of Distinguished Professors of Biology at California Institute of Technology, told the Wall Street Journal over the past weekend that the email from Anderson is a smoking gun and a powerful challenge to the idea of natural origin for SARS-2, referring to another term for the CCP virus. And Fauci, who has frequently given interviews about the pandemic since early last year, has drawn considerable criticism in recent days after his emails were published. Critics have said that he appeared to have had more knowledge about the theory that the virus may have emerged from the secretive Wuhan Institute of Virology in China.
Whoa, this
Boom.
Is a smoking gun.
Boom. Oh, hey, listen to this. Kevin McCarthy awakened. There's a Kevin McCarthy sighting. Republicans, including House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, have called for Fauci's ouster since the emails were published. I mean, everything we're finding here, how can the president, and I know the American people don't have trust in Dr. Fauci, McCarthy said during an interview with Breitbart News on June 5th. Let's find a person we can trust. Take politics aside. I mean, we're talking about American lives here. You know, Kevin, it's nice that you finally have awakened. You know what? It really is. It's nice to see that some have awakened in Congress, like Kevin McCarthy. It's only taken him over a year to do so. I mean, all he had to do was listen to what President Trump was saying and the experts, okay? That's all he had to do. You know, but all this anti-Trump sentiment, okay, now we're paying the price. We're paying dearly. Just
Well, I think Fauci should be replaced by John Rahm, because he is the expert on COVID, because he got COVID, shot 18 under in 3 days, and a hole in one.
Well, you know what? You'll have two votes, Ben. I'm with you on this one. You were right on the mask all along. You said it. You said wearing a mask will not stop you getting the Chinese virus. It's like a chain link fence being put up to stop mosquitoes from coming through. I mean, goes right through.
Yeah, I kind of stole that from Leo Holman. That guy's brilliant. I got to give credit where credit is due.
Well,
John Rahm was the first one to say that.
I'm going to give credit to Bigfoot, too. He goes, I said that social distancing is good. Stay as far away as possible from socialists. You nailed it. That's exactly right. Socialist distance.
That's a good one,
distancing.
Too.
Yeah. Shut it down.
We got some pretty smart listeners.
We do. We do. Matter of fact, speaking of Bigfoot, Bigfoot has a blog, and it's called Bigfoot's Place. And you can find it at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. I am telling you, if you want a comprehensive news outlet, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com is a place to check out. He runs, matter of fact, most days, on the weekends, there's like two sets of blog spots. There's a morning and an afternoon one, although this weekend I think he had just one for Sunday and one for Saturday, and today, Monday. But you can get news feeds from all over. The standard, like frontpage.com and The Federalist, Washington Examiner, Conservative Women, CBC News, Canadian Free Press, Radio Poland, Radio Prague, The Slavic Spectator, Russia Today. I mean, if you want world news, I'm telling you, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com is a great source. And I do read it. I do go into it every day just to see what kind of news is out there. And you can read some great international news as well. So let's see. There's stuff about AOC. You know, it's really good. So great job, Bigfoot. Ducky from the Northwest is joining us today. Hank Jones with Poly Sports is in the house. We got our big, fat, soft underbelly. Belly's got a great blast out there. So Belly's Blast, got to check it out. He's got two of them this week. And he was bored one day. Actually, the rain got him, and he put his talents to work instead of mowing the lawn. Did a great job on that. The Alaskan Boyd, nice to see you, Boyd. And, of course, we got Sue from New Mexico in on the switchboard. Also, if you want to check out and you want a self-help program and you want to kind of depart from politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show on Wednesday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Great self-help. You get some great tips on eating and the exercising. Did you exercise today? Yes, I did 3.5 miles today, walked. So. I did exercise, but ask yourself every day, did you exercise? And if you didn't, just get out and exercise, walk. Okay. Pick up a couple of gallons of milk, and do some pull-ups. Okay. So Al, I want to ask you a question. What do you think is going to come out of the latest revelations on Fauci, with regards to the 5,000 emails now that there's people are starting to pour over? Do you think there will be any accountability? Do you think that President Trump will be vindicated? Will Fauci pay the price of public shaming? I mean, what do you think comes out of this?
Well, I think he'll ride his donkey into the sunset and leave quietly somehow, some way. I don't think that there'll be a big investigation into the fraud that he perpetrated on the American people, because they will convince the Republicans that this would not be good for the country right now to tear it apart with a total investigation into Fauci. Let's just get past this COVID so America can go forward.
Yeah.
That's how I think it's going to play out.
That's a good point, too. It's not, in the meantime, you know, we've got the Democrat Communist Party that's bad for America. We have a border crisis that is absolutely, you know, has succumbed the southern border. You've got border agents who are leaving. You got border agents who are getting fed up, and it's all by design. You know, in the podcast, the D-Day on the Rio Grande, one of the things that Benzman said, which was really interesting, as well as Mark Krikorian, is the attrition of border agents. And you make the border agents miserable until they leave. And, you know, that is so true. They're overwhelmed. They've been vilified by the left wing in America, unrightly vilified. I mean, they're doing a job in protecting the U.S. border, and they become babysitters. They become diaper changers. And, you know, we've watched how the media has sanitized what's happening at the border since President Trump has left. They've sanitized the feckless and reckless approach by the dictator Joe Biden, communist Kamala regime. So much so that communist Kamala was tapped to be the border czar, and she has yet to go to the border. She calls the Mexican president to talk about the planting of trees. This is how shallow and irresponsible, and actually how disingenuous this administration truly is. They could give a damn about the border. What they care about is bringing more illegals into America. In the meantime, you drive down the street and you look at every fast food outlet. McDonald's, we're hiring. We're paying a $500 bonus. You go past the gas stations like the 7-Elevens and the Wawas, and they're hiring. We're hiring. Restaurants are hiring. And there was no incentive any longer for people to work. Why? Because the Democrat Communist Party made sure that they tapped into the greed of the American individual, and you brought back malaise. You brought back malaise by giving an additional $600 a week or a month, you know, in unemployment compensation to disincentivize individuals from going back to work. The one thing that President Trump did during his administration, his term, was to bring back pride. Bring back pride in the individual. A job means more than sitting on your ass and collecting a check. Okay? And people do pride themselves. The American person will pride themselves on working. They'll pride themselves on a job. And it's fulfilling. And you get that check at the end of the week or every 2 weeks, and you realize you've accomplished something, not sitting on your ass collecting, you know, taxpayer money and then expecting more. And I'll tell you, Al, 2 days a week I drive down past the church that has a sign up, and it's a food pantry. And I'm saddened by what I see every week for the last 3 months. I watch on Fridays and Saturdays how the lines of cars that are going into to a food bank to get food. And it's sad, because that should not happen in the United States of America. But the Democrat Communist Party ensured this type of suffering. They ensured this type of pain. And it's uncalled for. You know, Americans prided themselves on ingenuity, on being creative, on free enterprise, on capitalism. And we are the most creative people in the world. And sadly, we have a government who's suppressing that. And they made sure of this by getting rid of a man who was a champion for America and for Americans, who all his only guilt was being passionate about making America successful. Making Americans successful, believing in the free enterprise system. And what we're seeing today is that greed is overcoming that. The greed from Washington, D.C., from our government, to appeal to the greed of the individual and the dependency of the individual. Be dependent upon the federal government. You know, Dictator Joe Biden said during the campaign that he wants to do bigger things than Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. I mean, you look at FDR's track record and the amount of welfare that he brought into the system, you understand now what Dictator Joe Biden actually meant. You know, you've got FDR, you know, bringing in Social Security. Today it is social insecurity. You can't tell me that a senior citizen can survive on $800 a month when they were sold a bill of goods about Social Security. You know what? Yes, they should have saved, but there was a sense by the government that we will take care of you. Medicare will take care of you. Okay, Social Insecurity, you will get a pension from us. And it was the worst thing for Americans today. And, you know, when I saw my mother, may she rest in peace, who was getting $840 a month in Social Insecurity, she couldn't survive on that. And it took her kids to help supplant that or add to that so she could have a quality of life. But what about the individuals who don't have the kids, don't have those means to supplant? What do? They go into these nursing homes and they just die. And now we've got, bumbling, dictator Joe Biden, who says he wants to do more than what FDR did. And that should scare the bejesus out of everybody. And what we're seeing, what we've seen over this last year should scare the living shit out of everybody. And now what we're seeing in the 5,000 emails from Anthony Fauci with regards to this pandemic and the hoax that's being perpetrated on the American people, this should have never, ever happened. But it's about control. Wearing a mask is about control. Being dependent upon the federal government is about control.
Control indeed. And control while everyone is being distracted with the masks, being distracted with everything else, being distracted by UFOs even, trying to get the headlines. Joe Manchin, Democrat, said Sunday he'll vote against his Democratic colleagues' far-reaching election bill called For the People Act. As you probably all remember, the bill, also known as S1, is the largest overhaul of U.S. election law in at least a generation and covers many aspects of the voting process, including requiring states to automatically register eligible voters and offer the same-day voter registration. In other words, it's all bad. And Manchin, to his credit, said no, he will vote against it, and he'll also vote against the filibuster, and this essentially is the nail in the coffin for the People Act, which was dodging a big bullet. Now, whether Manchin follows through with it, we'll have to wait and see. I'm not holding my breath. He is a Democrat, by the way. But if he does hold to his guns and his principles, well, God bless him. Then he's the only Democrat of our elected officials in either the House or the Senate with a conscience and a brain. So kudos to Joe Manchin for the moment.
Well, like you, I'm not gonna hold my breath on this one. Representative Guy Restler from Pennsylvania said it best. Joe Manchin has been in lockstep with Biden, Schumer, and Pelosi all along. He's voted with Biden 100% of the time. Now, I don't know if Sarbanes is going to get to, or Pelosi or Schumer is going to get to Manchin. But if Manchin votes for this, he's done as a senator in West Virginia, although he's got four more years because he just got reelected. But if Manchin is supposedly this champion for the people and he's the swing vote, he should vote against this For the People Act, because it is nothing but the government trying to control the people, control elections, and it's more fraud that is coming down the pike to ensure that the left wing continues their assault on our constitutional republic. And if he's supposedly this middle of the road guy that we're being told he is, he better vote against For the People Act, Senate Bill 1 and House Bill 1. Mm-hmm.
And John Rahm said that if he backs out and double crosses and betrays the American people, he will take Joe Manchin out for a golf lesson.
John Rahm's going to be a busy dude.
This COVID's going to make him famous.
Oh, it's just, I don't know. Well, let's
that's
hope
some
that,
good
that,
news. That's some what, that's some good news.
Go ahead.
That's happy news. Joe Manchin. We'll see.
Well, it is good news.
But I think it's something good. Because this F1 and HR one scared the crap out of me. That's the end of our – that would have given the Democrats – everything that they did for that they did in this election, then all the chicanery, it would have been legal. As is now in Arizona and soon in Michigan, they're having their audits there. Now, of course, the audits – they haven't been completed yet, so we can only speculate on the results. But as of now, it's looking like they're finding a lot of fraud in Arizona, at least. But we'll have to see.
Well, of course they are. I mean, look, there's reports now that ballots were Xerox ballots were scanned, ballots that were on different paper. You've got more and more people coming out and giving sworn affidavits. At some point, sworn affidavits might mean something. You know, obviously, if they have sworn affidavit that Stormy Daniels had an affair with Donald Trump, boy, the media would go absolute gaga over it. But now we've got, you know, six sworn affidavits, two more sworn affidavits on some other chicanery and fraud that occurred at polling places, you know, witnessing the ballots being put through two and three times. And then, of course, you've got 900 ballots. You have 900 military ballots that all voted for bumbling buffoon Biden. That is statistically impossible, okay, first of all. And second of all, it's military votes. Half of them would be at least for Donald Trump. And I'm going to say very, very conservative that 60% would have been for Trump. There's no way, shape, or form that 100% of 900 ballots would vote for the buffoon Biden. I don't believe it. With regards to For the People Act, the same day registration, each state shall permit any eligible individual on the day of federal election on any day when voting, including early voting, is permitted for federal elections. You can register a person to vote if they went out, if November 3rd is election day, Tuesday, November 3rd, like it was this past year, you can actually go down and register to vote that day. That's irresponsible. That also promotes fraud. Eligible individual, how do you know a person's eligible? Okay. What if they came down from another state, let's say they were a snowbird and go to Florida from here in New York, and they voted in New York early voting, they drive down to Florida and say, oh, I want to register to vote, and they can vote in Florida. How do you know they're eligible? And, you know, this is – when they talk about election integrity, there is no integrity with the Democrat Communist Party. There is no integrity. I mean, you know, it's funny. To use the word integrity in the same sentence as the Democrat Communist Party is a joke. You know, there's the maybe if you use fraud and the Democrat Communist Party in the same sentence, now that would be applicable. But to use, you know, integrity with Democrat or Democrat Communist Party, it's erroneous. I mean, so this Senate Bill 1 is just – it's a joke. It's more abuse by the establishment in Washington, D.C., the government party, the unity party, the unified party, whatever you want to call them, but the cabal in Washington, D.C. wants to control Americans. And there is no voter integrity if you allow the chicanery that they put forth in this bill to occur. So let's hope that Joe Manchin sticks to his word. Let's hope if he does, you know, but that'll be great. And they can stop this bad legislation that's coming out of Washington, D.C., the abuse of our constitutional republic by the cabal. It's just, it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
Well, hopefully this year it won't, but they'll be back next year like the Phoenix. They will come back. These Marxists are anything if not committed, and you do not underestimate them as an adversary ever.
That is for sure.
Totally.
You know, there was some news there's an article in a couple of articles in Jihad Watch that were pretty interesting. One of them had to do with in Virginia, a Pakistani Muslim indicted for scheme to smuggle illegal migrants into the United States from Pakistan and Afghanistan. This was interesting because a federal grand jury in Virginia on April the 7th indicated a Pakistani citizen for allegedly leading a scheme to smuggle undocumented individuals into the United States from Pakistan and Afghanistan. Now, undocumented individuals are illegal aliens. According to court documents between January 2015 and December 2020, Abid Ali Khan, how appropriate, Khan. You've got Mayor Khan job in the UK, in London, England. Now you've got Abid Ali Khan, allegedly organized, led, and worked with others in his Pakistan-based smuggling network to facilitate the travel to undocumented individuals to the United States. Khan also allegedly encouraged, induced, and brought undocumented individuals to the United States for commercial advantage and financial gain. Khan allegedly led a global human smuggling operation that used fraudulent documents and international travel routes to facilitate the entry of unauthorized individuals into the United States, and acting U.S. Attorney Raj Parikh for the Eastern District of Virginia. We are committed to holding accountable those who seek personal monetary gain by compromising and undermining the integrity of the immigration process. So does that mean that they'll be arresting and indicting Joe Biden and communist Kamala Harris? In recent Homeland Security investigation in Miami, it was revealed that Khan allegedly accepted payment in exchange for planning and coordinating international travel for foreign nationals from Pakistan through multiple countries, including Brazil. So Al, the network was huge. The network for human trafficking, the network for illegal immigration and for smuggling, human smuggling into America is huge. I mean, it's very, you know, it's positive news when you find out that the government actually is making an effort to stop this illegal immigration, because you know what? You don't know who you're getting. You don't know. There's no vetting process. And if we're living in a non-Muslim country where Islam seeks to change America into Dar al-Harb, from Dar al, you know, seeks America as a Dar al-Harb and changes to Dar al-Islam, we should be concerned, because we understand what the plan is from the Muslim Brotherhood with the explanatory memorandum. You know, their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And here you have a situation where a Pakistani citizen who is based in America is trying to destroy America from within. And he got caught. And hopefully the U.S. government will get more Abid Ali Khans who are here under nefarious ways and means of trying to undermine our republic.
That's a winner.
It is.
That's a winner. I got a loser.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
But it is, with breaking news, this is actually very exciting. Ooh. People will be shocked and amazed. So sit down, catch your breath, listen closely, because we have breaking news. We have found out the actual monetary value of a Gazan jihad martyr who killed two Jews. So we now have learned the actual value of a Palestinian jihadi, dollar value.
Ooh.
Is this big or what? Are you on the edge of your seat?
I am.
As you should be, because this money will shock you. The value of a life of a dead jihadi by Hamas is 42 large, or translated, $42,000. That is what the life of one Palestinian human being is worth who kills Jews in a jihadi attack. Now, if you don't kill a Jew, or you're just a average Gazan citizen, your life is going to be worth much, much less. But don't fret. If you become a jihadi and kill in the name of Islam, your life will be worth $42,000. Now, this is no joke. The Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, gives almost $42,000 to the family of a Palestinian terrorist who brutally stabbed two Israelis to death in 2015. Now, why did it take him to 2021 to hand over the cash? But this is not a bad thing, because you got to figure the average Palestinian family has anywhere from 5 to 7 children. The economy over there is not so great. In fact, it kind of sucks. The unemployment rate is somewhere in the 30 to 35% range. So 42 grand is a lot of money. So these jihadis are worth more dead than alive, because, one, you get the monetary payout. You get your family then becomes what's known as a family of a shaheed. That elevates your cultural status within the community. You become, my son was a shaheed, and you get instant respect. So for a kid with no possibilities, no school, no job, can't get a wife, can't do anything, blow yourself up, get 42 grand to your family, and then they get all the prestige. Mama doesn't really care so much because she's got 6 other kids, or 7, or 8, or 9. And that's how it works in the Palestinian Authority and with Hamas. So breaking news, inside information. You heard it here first. You will not see this in the New York Times.
You know what's interesting about what you said? You asked the question. Now, the economy's in the tank in the Gazan area, the Palestinian areas, right? You don't know why they waited until 2021 to pay. But isn't it ironic that the dictator Joe Biden regime released $320 million to the Palestinians? Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any coincidence there that now they've the funding that's come in?
Could be. I mean, this weekend it was announced that the Palestinian Authority donated the extra 30,000 Jordanian dinars, or 42,000, to the Halabi family. That's the name of the family, to help them buy an even nicer home to live in than what they were in before, said the watchdog group Palestinian Media Watch. This is not this is a reliable source.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. How effed up is that?
Well, it's pretty effed up because, you know, if you go to Jihad Watch, okay, what you're seeing is the attack on Jews in the entire world has escalated. You know, the Palestinians in Gaza and in the West Bank, they're being given more financial aid by this administration. And now they're replenishing the coffers. But let's not forget, though, the government officials in the Palestinian area live very well. They live on the Mediterranean Sea. They drive very nice cars where the people live in squalor, so that the Rashida mother efforts to leave can create a victim mentality in the world. You have Zarif. Netanyahu has joined his anti-Iran co-conspirators, Bolton, Trump, and Pompeo, in the dustbin of history. Turkish crime boss says Turkey sent weapons to jihad terror groups in Syria. Israel, Muslim girls try to drown Jewish girl in pool. We chase every Yahud out of here. This is all ours. I mean, the teaching of hate. Yeah, this is pretty sick. No one talks about this. You don't see this article in CARE. You don't see the United Nations coming out and talking about how troubling this is. But Arab girls attacked a Jewish girl in a swimming pool in the central city of Lod, Kukur Hashabat reported. In one of the incidents, which occurred Tuesday, a local Arab girl attempted to drown a Jewish girl identified as H. As she worked to drown the Jewish girl, the Arab girl and her friends cursed her H and all the Yahoods. H, who is 11 years old, told Kakar Hashbat, How Shabbat. I went with my friends to the municipal pool, which on this day has hours for us. And suddenly one Arab comes over, a young girl, and jumps on me with her friends. I was in the deep water, so I almost drowned. At the beginning, I didn't understand what was happening to me, what she wanted from my life. But then she pulled my swimsuit and made a hand motion on my neck as if she was slitting it. And her friend told me, Palestine is on your head. And you know what? That's a common expression made by Palestinians, where they take their hand and they go from one side of the neck to another like they're slitting your throat. And I've seen that happen, and I've seen that actually firsthand directed totally at you. I've seen that directed at you, and I saw that with my own eyes. Okay. Revital, a 26-year-old who lives in Lod's Ganai Aviv neighborhood, told Kikar HaShabbat, when we arrive at the pool, the Arab girls who we passed cursed us that we die and called us names, and we tried to ignore them as much as possible. But when I was swimming, one of the Arab girls kicked me, and I got out of the water. And then my friend's daughter also got out of the pool upset and said they were threatening her, and another girl said that they hurt her in other ways. And so this hatred is taught. This hatred is part of the Palestinian DNA. This is being taught to the children. It's sad the amount of hate that is being taught. And yet we're being told that we're being sold that the Palestinians are victims. They're victims of their so-called religion. They're victims of their upbringing. This type of hate should not be tolerated. In the meantime, it's the Jews that are being vilified by the very people who hate them. And there's no reason for it. You know, a friend of mine, and you know this well as well, a friend of mine was a police officer in Israel. And, you know, he was telling me that how the Palestinians were teaching math to the children were, if you have seven Israeli soldiers and you kill three of them, how many are left? This is the type of hatred that's being ingrained into the heads of the youths there. And this action of trying to drown a 12-year-old girl is sickening. It's sick. It's sick.
The world we live in. Well, hey, the communist Chinese, maybe a little, they're pretty nasty too. Did you know that they are trying to, actually, Xi Jinping made a disparaging remark about our current president, Joe Biden.
Did he? Really?
Yeah, the Chinese communists called President Biden diffident, D-I-F-F-I-D-E-N-T. Yeah, I had to look it up too. And it means modest or shy because of a lack of self-confidence. That is a very insulting thing to call a sitting president. Modest or shy because of a lack of self-confidence, like a little wallflower. You know what really upset me? Damn Chinese have a better vocabulary than I do. I had to look up diffident because I didn't know what it meant. How embarrassing is that?
Yeah, but if he would have said, you know, it was like chop suey, you would have known. Or if it was Mugu Gai Pan. Yeah, right.
I'd have gotten those Chinese phrases, but they use English. Can you imagine? They think that our president is weak. And you know what concerns me about this joust? I find it particularly offensive, calling our president modest or shy because of a lack of self-confidence. That means that they have zero respect for our president. They have zero respect for the United States. Why that scares me, Vito, is because when our enemies think that we are weak, there is a greater likelihood of some type of a kinetic activity or action or the beginning of war, because our enemies attack when we are weak.
And think about that analogy that you just used, okay? You had a president who stood up to China. and China felt threatened. And you know, you had those Chinese in Hong Kong were fighting for democracy, and they were holding up photos of President Trump in Hong Kong while they're fighting for democracy. And isn't it funny how that fight for democracy just went away? Like we never saw it again after the pandemic hit. I mean, suddenly no one could congregate, and in Hong Kong, they couldn't congregate. They shut down all kinds of events, including these protests. And the strong arm of the Chinese came in and silenced those that were dissenters. So on one hand, you have the Chinese are aggressive when you have somebody who stands up to them, as President Trump did. And they actually did a great job, and they aligned themselves well. And they got the person who they expected to be there. They have this feckless old fraud, Joe, in the White House. And now they've changed their tune, and they've gone on the attack because they know how, how frail dictator Joe Biden is. But he espouses the same type of oppression ideas as the Chinese do. Matter of fact, last week the Supreme Court slapped down, you know, dictator Joe Biden with regards to the Second Amendment. And I was very surprised that the U.S. Supreme Court did what they did, and they validated that the Second Amendment means the right of Americans to bear arms. And also, you know, the next is going to be free speech and the ability to assemble. It, as more and more of this fraud Fauci emails come to light, they're going to realize that the government is sitting there trying to take away our liberties and our freedoms, including abridging all components of the First Amendment, abridging the Second Amendment. And right now, I have to give the Supreme Court kudos for slapping down the dictator Joe Biden administration, okay, and calling their method of seizure of weapons to be unconstitutional. And the people have the right to bear arms, as written by and afforded to us under the Second Amendment. And the First Amendment, we have freedom of speech. We have the freedom to peaceably assemble. We have the freedom to redress our government for grievances. We have the freedom of religion, okay? And the freedom of press, and these are being abridged by the very government. And so if we're watching how oppressive and weak our government is, you know our adversaries are. I mean, the Chinese have the perfect chimpanzee in the White House. They know that he's not running the show, so to speak. He's a front man. He is a weak individual. I mean, the man is a proven liar and a plagiarizer. There's no way, shape, or form this guy got 81 million votes. There isn't. And if the Chinese see it, you know, the Chinese were afraid of Trump because Trump stood up to them. And now they see a weakling in the White House. But you know what? Remember, Biden has a track record. He tries to be big man on campus. And he did that at that forum in April of 2019 where he tried to be big man about withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee to the Ukrainians. And you look at his mannerism and you listen to him, and he tries to be big man on campus because he was an afterthought. He was an afterthought with Obama. He was an afterthought with Trump, and he's an afterthought right now. And so at some point in time, he's going to step outside the cabal's box and try to be big man on campus, and he's going to get slapped down once again. Yeah, I don't like the guy. I'll admit that.
That's good. Good points. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. So
you are not diffident. You are the opposite of diffident, my friend.
I am not diffident. I am not.
You
diffident.
Are not that. No, sir.
I'm no egg roll, let me tell you.
You are not that. And that's the word for today, ladies and gentlemen. Diffident.
Diffident.
Impress your family and friends with your big vocabulary.
So you're going to have to watch the Chinese to see what next week's word is, okay? Oh, my goodness. All right, so next week we're going to have Todd Benjamin from the Center, so Senior National Security Fellow. And Todd's going to talk about immigration. D-Day on the Rio Grande, the Biden administration facilitates mass illegal immigration. Really good podcast. You can find that at the Center for Immigration Studies. Todd did an interview with Mark Krikorian, so check that out. But he also is the author of the book, America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Looking forward to reading that and getting his point of view on this and with regards to jihadist infiltration. He does talk about South America, which means that I think the tri-border region is going to be in that book as well. So looking forward to reading that. And he'll be on our show next week for about a half hour. So I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. And you can check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. We got Bring It On Boy. Nice to see you, boy. Ducky, the Northwest. Nice to see you, Ducky. Hank Jones with Poly Sports. Our big fat soft whoop, whoop, underbelly. The Alaskan. And I saw that Annie was in the chat room. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico on the switchboard. Check out our shows tomorrow. We've got Radio Free Kafiristan with Eric from Kafiristan. Wednesday, we've got Hank Jones and Polly Sports. He's on at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Paul Sutliff, the Cliffian Report. He's on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Great job by all of our hosts, including Paul and Hank and Eric does a bang-up job. And then we have Dr. Andrew Harrod with his conservative Friday show. Check out Andrew. He also is a participant on Jihad Watch, too. He's got some great articles in there. Saturday, we have the esteemed Minister Simon Dakdek and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. They're on at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue. And that will be the real interfaith dialogue. If you want to understand Islam and Christianity, please check out Eric's show on Sunday, the real interfaith dialogue. And Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Chief Simple Facts of Life. He's on Tuesday on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, which would be 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And Simone Nicole Show Wednesday on Spreaker at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You want a little self-help and get away from politics? They'll take you down under and give you some good health tips. Al, any other party shots? Any other discussion?
If she can help you get rid of your diffident, then I'm in.
Well, hey, Belly says, you diffident, reticent, hesitant, shy guys, appreciate it. So he used everything.
Ooh, too many syllables. I need to look that up.
Say that three times fast. I can't even say it one time fast. You're diffident, resident, hesitant, shy guys. Yes. Golly geez.
That's a cute ring to it.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, check out the stories in Jihad Watch and also Bare Naked Islam. She does a fantastic job, putting together some great shows in there as well, great topics in there. And the Center for Immigration Studies. You know, it's not just about the jihadist infiltration, but this Center for Immigration Studies talks about the mass illegal immigration and immigration itself. So they got a lot of good history behind them. So check that out. So thank you all for joining us this
evening.
Illegal
aliens, big problem.
Yep, illegal aliens, a big problem. Check us out on Twitter, #Brown G Patriot Radio, #Brown Mama Mia No Sharia. You all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And you know what? Ban the mask. Shut it down. Hey, have a good evening, everybody. Be safe out there. Thank you for joining us this evening. Ciao.
Adios.
And not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows. And it is.
was.
Bye-bye.
It's
pretty good. The double ending.
Yeah.
With math. Yeah. Outstanding. Way to use your abacus. That was great.
Hey. Wasn't diffident, was it?
It wasn't diffident at all. Very confident and strong.
That's right. It was very decisive.
Glad you found that funny. I wasn't sure about that. I found it funny.
Yeah, that was really good. Humor. Well, you do. That's why we get along so well, because we both have that same weird sense of humor. Oh,
can you imagine Xi Jinping calling Biden diffident? Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, you know, I honestly, is there any surprise?
I don't know. Well, the fucker forgot about D-Day. Couldn't even mention that.
Oh, my God.
But then again, as much as we want to get rid of that son of a bitch, what's the alternative? Kamala Harris?
No. That's even worse. Oh, my God.
She's
an embarrassment. I mean, he's you know what? They're both equally embarrassing. And unfortunately, what you get with communist Kamala is going to be Barack Hussein Sator Obama. You know, she's just not a smart individual. She's not even liked. I mean, how does somebody who gets less than, 0.0 in the primary, she's got no appeal whatsoever, and yet, you know, she's and you listen to her and you know that she's full of crap. You know, she's now, what is she? She's putting head in charge of something else. And now for 2 months she's failed to go to the border. But why hasn't she gone to the border? And I heard somebody opine this last week. It's very clear why she failed to go to the border. Because if anyone in the Biden administration goes to the border, it brings to light the absolute chaos and the disastrous policies that have been put forth by the Biden administration. So now all they have to say is they prance out Baghdad Bob Jensaki to say that they inherited this mess, and they didn't inherit this. They didn't inherit this mess. Okay, they created this mess. But as long as they can give the perception that they created, that they inherited this mess, and they don't go down to the border, they don't bring light to what's really happening. I mean, can you imagine if the optics were during the Trump administration that the illegal aliens were wrapped in Costco hot dog wrappers at the border? Can you imagine the hysteria by the DNC media if the optics were illegal aliens wrapped in Costco aluminum foil hot dog wrappers? I mean, they would have went absolutely apocalyptic. And yet,
we're wearing their mega shirts as they're coming to the border.
Yes. Right. They don't understand English, but they're wearing their MAGA shirts coming to America, coming into the border, you know, rather than wearing, you know, communist Kamala shirts. It's truly amazing. So communist Kamala doesn't go to the border. She's given a title, a name only. And that's all. It just goes to show how fraudulent this administration is, and I'm very suspect about these people. And of course, their intent is really simple. Their intent is destroy America, destroy our republic.
But while she was in Ecuador, she was giving a speech, and she told people there, "Don't come, just don't come to America." Meanwhile, Biden in his other breath is saying, "Oh, come to America, bring your children." She's saying, "Don't come," which is racist. Because Trump said, "Don't come." In fact, he sent the Mexican police to stop these people from coming. He was called a racist and a bigot. She says, "Don't come," and everything is fine.
Yep.
Bullshit.
Yep, it really is.
Oh, and then she said she didn't go to the Mexican border because she wants results, not grand gestures. So she's going to the source of the problem. She thinks going to the border is just making a grand political gesture.
Sure. Yeah. They have an excuse for everything. Yeah. You know what? Let's not tackle the problem. Okay. Let's not tackle it. Let's go ahead and just work around it so that there won't be any optics. And that's all it is. It's an optics issue. They don't want to bring to light their failed policies. They turned the border into absolute and utter chaos. Yeah. I mean, listen, honest to God, listen to that. The podcast is 36 minutes, the D-Day on the Rio Grande. And you'll hear in there where Todd Benzman actually interviews illegal aliens. He interviews border agents as well. And the illegal aliens told them that they now come here because they know that if they bring their kids, they're also automatically in America. So that's the message that was being sent. Just bring your kids in, and then you can follow too. And that's what they're doing. And they're saving $5,000 for giving the smugglers that money. But I also find it amazing that these illegal aliens have two and three kids, and it's $5,000 a person. Where are they coming up with $15,000 or $20,000?
I don't know.
$24,000. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, you're an illegal alien, you're dirt poor, just getting out of whatever war-torn shithole country that you're in because your life is in jeopardy. I mean, I didn't think that illegal aliens had $10,000 cash lying around to give to some cartel smuggler.
I mean,
I was wondering the same exact thing. Good observation.
You know Americans here, and we probably both have the same friends. The husband and wife work. They have two cars. They have three TVs. They have a house. And they're paying a mortgage. Could they come up with $22,000 in cash tomorrow? No, they couldn't. They can't. And yet these illegal aliens are coming in where they're paying these smugglers $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 to come to the United States. So, yeah, good point, Al.
Ponderous, isn't it?
Yeah, we're being scammed. I'm telling you, I don't like the road we're on. And I think, I really do think the awakening was in 2016. Honestly, I think that was the change, and that scared the absolute crap out of the powers to be, the establishment, whatever you want to call it. The heir apparent to Barack Hussein Satoru Obama was Hillary Rotten Clinton. And they believed that the American people were going to continue down that same road. I mean, the American people being so racist, they voted for a black man twice. That's how racist the American people were. And then they believed that Hillary Rotten Clinton could continue, the dismantling of America. And suddenly the American people had an appeal for this guy called Donald Trump, who hosted a reality TV show and a billionaire. And who told it like it is, and people got upset, and some people got upset. Others were going, oh, my God, what a relief, somebody actually telling it like it is. And he won. And I think it scared the living crap out of the powers to be. And I think that they're trying to make sure that it would not happen again, honest to God. And what we're seeing today is, I mean, we're talking about utter chaos at the border. I mean, we have an immigration system in shambles. And they're worried about, what kind of sneakers that LeBron James is wearing. And, we're worried about, does the president like vanilla or chocolate ice cream? Really? Really?
Yep. Double standard. We've seen it for years, decades. I don't think anything's going to change. There's a double standard for everything.
There is, but
us conservatives and everybody else.
Yeah, that's right. Us conservatives and everybody else. Going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, man. Well, have a nice weekend. Well, weekend.
All right,
that's
you too.
Monday.
Have a great week.
Have a good week. All right.
Every day's a weekend for you.
Every day's a weekend for me. I'm going to go relax by the pool, have a have a pina colada and a slice of pizza, and I'm going to enjoy myself.
Hey, that's good. Have a cigar too while you're at it.
You know, that's a really good idea. I think I will. I got my shipment from JR Cigars. So.
Ooh, what'd you get?
Oh, I got the 808s again. I can't get away from those. I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to order the torpedoes, and I didn't. Damn it. You got the
808s? I'm hooked on the Oliva Seconds.
Oh, yes, you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for under $2 cigar, I am like, I'm in full.
Yeah, me too. It was Thompson Cigars I got the 808s from. I keep forgetting. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, the one you gave me that one day a while back was very good. It was a good smoke.
I love them. I can't wait till JR has a sale on Gentleman's Rooster. Oh, my God. That was one of the best cigars. And I can see why it's $70 for 20. But they had them on sale for, I think I paid $27.99 for 20 in a flash sale. So anytime mm-hmm. they're running a flash sale, I always look at the, I always open up the JR Thompson because that flash sale, those were really good, the Gentleman Roosters. Whoa.
Yeah, I haven't had one of those, but I'll give it a try.
If I find it, I will, and I get it, I'll give you a couple. You'll really like them. And they had torpedoes too, which is really, they were really good. They were 6x52 ring.
Whoa, that's a good size. It's like a Toro Plus.
I know.
That could be like an 8, 9, or 10 hole cigar.
You know what? I was sparking them up right around hole number 10. I'd spark it up, and it lasted. I got through to 17.
That's not bad at all.
Like it. All right.
Judge a cigar by how many holes it burns. You know where our priority is at.
That's right.
That's funny.
All right, man.
All right, amigo.
Have a nice evening.
All right, you too. I will talk to you soon. Great show as always.
That's all, folks. Thank you, Music Block.
Bye for now.